off here. Sorry.
Well, the next section of the morale is our last section.
It's really intense.
Katana.
You heard that story.
He talks about Matzah Shabbos Hanukkah. Would you do Abdallah first and then you light, or you light and then you do Abdallah? This is actually a machlokes from Menhagim, and the Maharal says that you should light first and then be Mavdil, because there's an inyan of being Mavdil as late as possible. So it could be Mamshech Shabbos somehow.
Isn't the act of lighting Abdallah itself? Isn't the act of lighting Abdallah itself?
Yeah, I'm saying, obviously you're not really being Mamshik Shabbos, right, because then the act of lighting would be a Chilul Shabbos. Right. We don't want that. So it's just like verbally saying Shabbos is over, you should be Ma'akha there as much as possible. But they should Ma'akha Ma'avda before they lit. So there's something, it's like until you officially say the words of Havdalah, so then there's still a Shirayim. I don't even know if that's the right word for it. The Shirayim of Shabbos. Because you haven't publicly said it's gone. But it's gone. It is gone. It has to be gone. It goes into the Indian. Yeah, it goes into the Indian. That's why. So we're going to go a little weiter. Aschar Zayis HaMitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah of Adlakas Nech Hanukkah, which is... Yeah. Reward is awesome. We usually never ever discuss reward because we have no idea what the reward is. But by Nech Hanukkah, we do know what the reward is. It's one of the few things that we do know. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, a ragel b'ner. If ragel is to be regular, regular. That's really cool. Just this is like a Maimar Muzger, a parenthetical statement. The shakas between some English words and the Hebrew sherish is amazing. There's a machlokes what a shvuas heses is. Rav Nachman was misak a shvuas heses. Midaraisa, by the mixus is chayav a shvuah midaraisa, my kofar calls pater. Rav Nachman was misak a shvuas heses even for a kofar call, because a chazaka ain't adam teve alim ken yeshla. Rashi says, what's a shvuas heses? That it's a shua shemesisin, I say, lehoides. That it's a shua the Bezin uses to incite a person to be made. It's kaifer kol, we suspect he's lying. So we use the shua as a tool to incite him. You know, we want to get a reaction out of him. So we say, oh, you're lying. If you're lying, if you do a shua's hazes. And you hope you're going to agitate him enough. He'll be married without the shvuah. Rashi elsewhere, Baba Kama, it's a shvuah's heses. It's a shvuah she milashin shuma, an assessment that Besson assesses that this person might be hiding something. Because chazaka ain't adam tevel im kin yeshlei. People don't just walk over to other people on the street and say you owe me $100 on some basis. So Besson accepts that and they assess it, and they want you to make the shuas. So the machlokes whether shuas heses is a shuah of incitement, or it's a shuah of assessment. So the word heses is the sharish of assessment. Heses is assess, and it also has incite. Heset has incitement, and both Sata and Rashi can be traced back to the original lashon. You know, the lashon kodesh got fragmented. You know, there's words in other languages that they're not really, it's not really English, it's not really, it's this little brekalach. It's a brekalach sticker. Little crumbs and fragments that survived in English language. And it's got a steer. Rashi, we worked it out in Shigod. We worked at this deal in Rashi and Shia, but that's for another time. But you see, both Pshat and Rashi, they're both loyal to the Lashon of Hesus, assessment and incitement. And the Gemara says, Ragel b'ner. If someone's Ragel b'ner, Ragel is regular. The word regular is not an English word. It's a Hebrew word. It got mixed into the English. Ragel b'ner. Havan le'banim tamid hachamim. He's going to have sons. And his sons are going to be tamid hachamim. Hazar ben mezuzah. Someone takes care. In the mitzvah of mezuzah, zeichel adirina. He's going to have a dirina, a fine house. Dirina, fine. Noah. Hazar b'tzitzis, zeichel atalas noah. Hazar b'kiddush hayayim, zeichel m'mali garbiyah. You're going to have garbiyahim is like these flasks. It's not about garbage, it's more made out of leather or something, garbiyahim. Containers of wine. You get so much wine, you make kiddush, you can have so much wine. Yizarian tzitzis, you buy the tzitzis, and you makbid, you get all the sheetis, you make it yourself, you can get beautiful clothing. Sagrada, that was then, when they used to put the tzitzis on the clothing. No, I don't know. You put the tzitzis on the four-cornered pasha piece of cotton. So you're going to get a nicer piece of cotton to face this. It was more than a game when they used to put tzitzis on the clothing. Okay, so you did a mashnah marug of a nair. First of all, what kind of nair are we talking about? Remember, the word nair means lantern. We learned that. Nair does not mean a candle. It's a lantern. A rug of a nair ain't producing a nair for Shabbos Mavad. It's not the nair of Shabbos. It's all nairs. The imkain have a lelem azar b'nair shal Shabbos. It was only talking about Shabbos candles. So then the Gemara would have said nair shal Shabbos. Shabbos candles. I mean, the sugya is in the paragraph by Mehmed Likin, which is talking about Shabbos candles. That's why the Maral is saying this. From the Pashas of sugya, I would think it's talking about Shabbos candles. And it is talking about Shabbos candles. If you take great care with Shabbos candles, you'll have children that tell me they're coming. And that's why there's a minig. It's pretty universal that women at the time of Hadlaka, they daven for children, Meirim is Kala Olam, that they light up the whole world. And the reason why they're davening for it at the time of lighting is because the lighting brings children into the world. That's Tamid Chacham, that's the time to daven for it. If you want to get a beautiful illuminated text, you can speak to my wife, she has one, and it's a nice gift. But what the Maral is saying here is, even though the Gemara, the Parak, is talking about Neris of Shabbos, but since it just said Haraga B'ner, that means you take great care, you're regular, you're Kavua, with a Ner, and it doesn't say what Ner, the Gemara doesn't commit itself. So it's a Raya that's referring to all mitzvahs that we do with a Ner. So it includes Ner Hanukkah. And that's the Maral's Diyuk. It's any nair of mitzvah. Bakasha. Bakasha is a zark. You're lighting the nair. Who's lighting the nair? You're lighting the nair. You're lighting the parakim nair. And if you do it barakilis, you're going to have a son who's going to be a tamachachim. Havle lemai rogu b'nair, you're a tamachachim yatzmar. What about you? You can't be a Talmud Chacham? What happened to you? When your kid is born, he'll light Hanukkah Neris. He'll also be a Talmud Chacham. And that's the way it'll work. And everybody will be Talmud Chacham that way. So it comes out, like, the guy's father didn't light Neiris, so it's all over for him. But there's still hope for his son. That's not fair. You hear such a kasha, it's a good kasha. That's not fair. And that's a Baal Tshuva. There's a maisa with the Panav Turab. He went, you know, Panav Turab was Rabbi Yosef Kahaneman. He was a Rav of the Lithuanian town called Panovich. That's why he's called the Panovich Rav. And he made a yeshiva in Bnei Brak. He went collecting all over the world. He went to South Africa. He was there for Herzl's Yahrzeit. You know the story. Yes. He was there for Herzl's Yahrzeit, Theodor Herzl's Yahrzeit. Theodor Herzl was a Chaitim Machtias Rabbim. Higrado was the one that put... They put Eretz Yisrael on the lips of the whole world. So there's some kind of schuss over there, but he was a chayte matzis rabbi. He was a Russian, and he was an assimilated Jew, and nothing came from him. So before he was going to get up to speak in the shul, and that's the way he raised money. He'd go to the shul, he would speak, and then people would give him money. Someone told him, Rebbe, grab the heart of this Herzl's Yahrzeit. These were Lithuanian Jews, but they were Zionists. And the Panovich Rav said, yeah, they're ashamed, Herzl's Yahrzeit. He said, no, Rabbi, you're going to be speaking, it's Herzl's Yahrzeit. He said, I'm speaking, yeah, it's Herzl's Yahrzeit. No, Rabbi, it would be appropriate if you would mention something about Herzl in your speech. He said, I'm sure that there's people that know more about him than I do. No, Rabbi, you came here to raise money. If you don't mention Herzl in your speech, you're wasting your time here. No one's going to give you anything. Get up. He said, is there anyone in the audience from Radin? There were people from Radin. This was in the 1950s and 60s. People from Radin. Lithuania. He said, yeah, what would somebody give if you could put on the Chofetz Chaim's tefillin one time? How much would you pay for such an opportunity? And there was somebody, he knew the Chofetz Chaim, and it was like, he's fanning the flames of the kesher that he had with the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. He said, I would give $500 for the schuss to put on the Chofetz Chaim's film even one time, to be miskasher, tzugabund into the Chofetz Chaim, einmal. Oh. He said, what if, is anyone here from Vilna? What if somebody would be able to put on the Vilna Gaon's film, who came before the Chofetz Chaim? One time, there's a Litvish Yid, he's from Vilna, he's divers from Vilna, $1,000. He said, well, I would give $10,000 to put on Herzl's throne. He mentioned Herzl, he went on with his drasha. Because Herzl didn't wear throne. So Herzl, he didn't like Chanukah left either.
Did he get money?
Yeah, he got money. He always came out with money. I was zeichet to learn the Chavrusa with Herb Jaffe.
Herb.
Who was an Einikol of the Lavush. I learned with him for years. In Project Seed in Dayton, Ohio. Herb Jaffe was a Firma Yid in Dayton, Ohio. And his father learned in Tells and was a roommate with the Panovich and Rav in Tells.
Panovich Rav went to Tells?
Avada. And the Panovich and Rav was zeichet to have his hand fractured by a Blazer Telser.
No.
He was holding his hand and learning. He got so into it, he just like, he couldn't pull his hand out. He was acting on his hand fraction, Rabbi Blazer tells him.
I wish I could have my hand fractured.
I would pay $10,000.
I wish I could have a hand fractured by Herzl's fellow, what did you say? So they were friends. But Herb's father's name was Zedel. Zedel Jaffe, he went to America, he went to Dayton, he made it big. And the Panovich and Rav went to Eretz Yisrael. They hadn't seen each other. When the Panovich and Rav went collecting, he collected people. He collected all the people from his Avra to get money. This Eliyahu was a rich person in Dayton. The Panovich and Rav was going to go. He went to Dayton. I saw the newspaper clippings that Herb showed me. It was an event. The Pennant Trail came to Dayton. It was a landmark event in the city of Dayton, Ohio. They were visited by the Grand Rabbi, the Panovich Rav. So Herb told me that he was there when the Panovich Rav's cab pulled up to the house. Like he described, he said he came out. He said he looked helpless. And people think he raised so much money. He did raise so much money, but he wasn't a collector. He did it anyway. It wasn't natural. He wasn't comfortable with it. He had no finesse. He just went ahead and did it. He was not a fundraiser. He pulled the money. You know, out of, he pulled money out of it. That was a joke that the kid swallowed a coin or something. And the Chazon Ish told, I don't know if it really happened or not, but he told the parents, take him to the Panovich Rav. Because the Panovich could get money out of anything. I don't know if it's true or not.
That's just racist.
He pulled off. He didn't know how to pay the cab driver. He built multi-million-dollar yeshivas all over. He couldn't pay the cab driver. He took out the money from his pocket. He just went like this to the cab driver. Like Herb was watching this from the top of the steps. He held out like this to the cab driver. The cab driver just went like this and drove away without taking any money from him. And Herb said he never saw such a thing in his life. The cab driver just said, Rahman, just get up, just, Rabbi, stay here, I'm going out of here. He take. And he walks up the stairs, he opened the door, Herb's standing there. Herb, at the time, looked the same way his father looked in Tel Zalita. He was 20 years old. And the mother says, hey, Liyama, he just jumps him and envelops him. He's bawling. He's crying. He saved me. You have to help the yeshiva, please. And that's how he did it. It wasn't an act. And then Herb says, it's not me. It's my father. He put it in his father. He came out of Dayton, Ohio, from Zeil Yafa. He came out with enough money to build an entire building. He came out with a building. The dining room building. The present dining room building. The building, the dining room building of Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, you go there, you should go see it. There's a big bronze tree that fills a whole side of the wall. It's like huge. And it says Eshel Yafa, which is the tree of Jaffes. A rug over there. The bottom of Tamid Chachamim. Was that someone that his father didn't light candles, and he can't be a Talmud Chacham? Why can't you light candles for yourself? This seems to be a night for tangents, but there's a fact that in Russia, before the fall of the Iron Curtain, in Russia, people, when they got old, they didn't have children. They were shomer Torah mitzvahs. They didn't have children who believed in God. They had children that would inform on them and their religious practices to the authorities. They were afraid to tell their own children. They couldn't trust their own kids. The communists took away their children. And there were many people that they were Yireim and Shleimim. And they didn't know if there's going to be anyone to say Kaddish for them after they die, or the Mishnayis after they die. So they're Chever Mishnayis. This is a very little known fact. It's a fact. They're Chever Mishnayis, that they would have a Chever. It's like a group in the Beis Medrash to learn between Mincha and Maariv. They'd learn Mishnayis in an order. And they were learning it with Schus themselves. That after they die, the Mishnayis that they learn in this Chever should be Ilul Nishmasim. Appella. Okay. So that's the Maral's Kasha. All right, Maral has more questions. Right there. Not a Kasha. Right, so that's the first kasha. Second kasha is we're going out of order. The Gemara talks about mezuzah before it talks about tzitzis. In Mizuzah, you have a dirana, a nice house. Yizayin Tzitzis, you have a talisna. What comes first, Mizuzah or Tzitzis? Tzitzis comes first, because it's a mitzvah that goes with you wherever you are. It's a mitzvah shebegufa. It's a mitzvah you put on your body. A dira, you don't put it on your body. You put it on your house. If you don't have a house, you don't even have a mezuzah. I mean, if you live in a barn or something, you live in a car. This lady, ago, there was a lady that she just ran into a whole, like 20, 30 people in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Never, but there's one car, but one casualty.
She had her kid in the back also. Where?
Yes, yeah, so she was angry. Well, she did it because she was angry.
What?
Because she has no home. She was homeless. She lived in her car. And every parking lot that she tried to park her car in, the security guards would throw her out. So she got frustrated. And she ran people over. So she has no chiyuv mezuzah. I'm just saying, tzitzis comes before mezuzah. Right.
She was conservative.
She has no chiyuv tzitzis either.
She's conservative.
She has no chiyuv tzitzis either. That's the next kasha. The Gemara picks out certain mitzvahs, talis, mezuzah, and nair. What about someone that's zeicher b'sukkah? I mean, zayin and sukkah. When he makes a sukkah, he's makbid in all the halachas. So he's be zeicher to a sukkah now. That'll be a nice sukkah. Yeah, it's like the Gemara picks out certain things. And there's 613 mitzvahs. It picks out three mitzvahs. And they're out of order. And the mitzvah of Nair doesn't talk about the person herself. I mean, I'm just going to... This is not another question. This is like a tiefkeit in his first question. Is it should say that if you're Zeicher and Tzitzis, your children will have nice clothing. Yeah. And it should say, if you're Zeicher and Mezuzah, okay, your children will have a nice house. Okay. Just say this is... Ha'aris. So let's start. We'll start now. This week we'll start. Because Baka created man, and a very important part of man is his body. And the body is engineered for this world. Hashem made the body, and he made a world for the body, and they match up. And whatever the body needs is in this world. So the body is mukhan for olam hazeh. The pasuk says, "Ki ner mitzvah Torah or." Ner is a mitzvah, Torah is light. Remember, ner is not a candle, ner is a lantern. A mitzvah is called a ner. And the Maharal says, the reason why a mitzvah is called a ner is because a lantern has a limit to how long it's going to burn. A lantern, there's a certain size to it, a certain amount of oil it could hold, and then there's a certain amount of oil in it, and depending on the thickness or the thinness of the wick and the conditions, it eventually is going to go out. So there's a physical vessel. Torah or is light. Light is, you know, we're just talking about light. Not the vessel that produces the light. Light. Not connected to any vessel. So light doesn't necessarily have to have limits. When you talk about a lantern is a physical item, it's a physical vessel, it's got its limits, it burns at a certain time and it goes out. So the Olam Hazeh is also considered a ner. It's a lantern. It has physical components. Everything in this world is physical. It burns for a certain amount of time. It goes out. There's nothing in this world that lasts. Everything has a certain amount of time. It makes a big noise on the scene and sputters out. particles, grass, trees, everything. It's in the very, very, it's in the very, very, in the, even in the very, very makeup, the molecular makeup of everything to break down. Everything breaks down. You know, there's a lot of skin cells that people shed each day, and you can do it. My hair follicles, they shut down, the hair falls out. Like you're supposed to lose about thousands of hairs each day. It just comes out. Things break down. This world is a world of things that are constantly breaking down. There's a limit. So the world's a lantern. And it goes out. Mitzvahs, the difference between Torah and mitzvahs, because Torah is done with the mind, and the mind is not a physical presence. The mind's not down here. The mind is up there. You know, if we function through our minds, like we get regards from the mind every once in a while. The mind sends down regards. The mind's not here, but mitzvahs? There's not a single mitzvah. It doesn't have to do with Adam Hazard. That's the definition of a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do something with Adam Hazard. Take something of Adam Hazard and do a mitzvah with it. So the purpose of creation was that God should enter a world that Adam has, it's physical, that goes out, and do a mitzvah with it. Do a mitzvah with a fruit. What happens with a fruit when you know, Nasser, how long does the Nasser last after a sukkah?
2 months.
It shrivels, it dies. So that God wants us to do mitzvahs with things that shrivel and die. He wants us to do mitzvahs with things that don't have a connection with eternity. That's not like Torah. Torah is your mind. Torah is concepts. Concepts never die. A thought never dies. Why should it? There's nothing physical about it to break down. You ever think, you know, a memory never dies. A Dvar Chachma never dies. There's no reason why it should. If a teretz to Akasha, does the teretz ever die? The people that heard the teretz might die, but the teretz never dies. Never dies. So mitzvahs is to take things that die and do something with it. The Gemara talks about the protection that's afforded to a person when he's learning Torah. Learning Torah is migni umatzli. Learning Torah could protect a person. Learning Torah could save a person. It could save him from physical dangers. It could save him from the Nisyonis, the Yetzirah. Can mamash save a person? The Gemara says the mitzvahs also could protect a person. The Gemara says it's nafkamina. The Torah protects a person around the clock, even when he's not learning. Guy goes to sleep. The Torah he learned during the day protects him. There was a Yid. He's still around. Baruch Hashem, Ad Mei V'Esrim. His name is Rabbi Yerucham Ben Zinger. The last I heard of him, he was a Rav in Florida. He was a businessman in Cleveland. I mean, he looked like a Kylie Ingerman, and he learned a good part of the day. And he was missing one leg. So he walked around with crutches and a prosthesis. He'd come around to yeshiva pretty often. His kids learned in yeshiva also. He had kids in high school. And Ruchem Benzinger was someone that there was no gray. Say it is 9:30 to 1. There's no 9:31, 9:32, 9:33. He has a kviyas every day to learn with someone in the middle of his... He was a businessman. So you didn't miss it. There was no reason to miss it. Why should you miss it? There was not. It wasn't even conceivable. And that's the way he led his life. He had a doctor's appointment. I mean, he had many doctor's appointments. It wasn't. You know, he had physical challenges. Doctor's appointments. He drove himself to the appointment, went in the waiting room, and they were late. And behind. I mean, I don't know exactly what time the appointment was. It could have been a 2:30 appointment. It takes 15 minutes for the appointment. It takes him 15 minutes to get to his chavrus at 3 o'clock. He's all set up. But even though it was his turn, but it wasn't his turn. You know, as you get there on time, and somebody else is late, and then they put them ahead of you, and then you have to wait. Did you ever hear about the invisible man that went to the doctor's office? He went to the receptionist. He says, "I have to see the doctor." She said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I'm invisible." She said, "I'm sorry, the doctor can't see you right now." So Rebendik was in the waiting room, and he was staying there as long as he could before he has to leave for his chavrusa. And the appointment was an appointment, which it was an important appointment. It wasn't a checkup. He needed to go to that appointment. And he waited as long as he could until finally he passed the point of no return. If he doesn't leave now, he's going to be late to his chavrusa. So he said, appointment morgen. It's going to have to be rescheduled. He left to go to his chavrusa. As he left the building, he's going to the parking lot to his car. There's a car in the street, lost control, went onto the sidewalk, smashed into the wall of the doctor's building. But he wasn't there. He was outside. Why? Because he had a chavrusa. Torah protects. It protects even when you're not learning Torah. Now, granted, I think he must have been learning Torah because he always sat with the sefer, but it protects even when you're not learning Torah. And if somebody has a problem with his Yetzirah, no matter how hard he's working on it, it's just not working. You tell yourself, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. It's bad to do it. And we do it again, you know, we do it. But if you... I mean, I heard this from a Mekubal. I heard this directly from a Mekubal. One of the daily Mekubal of Yerushalayim. His name was Velvel Cheshen. He said that Velvel Cheshen, he's not alive anymore. He said that Segula Nifla for certain battles is that when you're learning, not to talk to Divrei Batala when you're learning. He said it helps a lot. It helps a lot.
Did you mention why?
I think you could figure it out yourself. It helps a lot. It's a segula for Levatala things. It's kapara, you know. It helps for people that have issues with Levatala. It helps a lot. So whatever person is shayach to, you know, let's say the person doesn't have to learn 12 hours a day. I mean, if he could, he should. I mean, but if a person learns an hour a day, and during that hour, he's not going to talk about Divrei Batala. So that also helps. It's a very good thing. So it's a very good thing to start off a Seder. To make up the first 15 minutes, no talking, no nothing, just... And that the 15 minutes that must be on the rest of the Seder and the rest of the day. Torah protects a person in his Mechemes HaYetzer. Torah protects a person from cars going through walls inside of the thing. If you're ever scared of, you know, I don't know if you walk well, if you have fears or if you have anxieties. If you have anxieties that a car is going to come flying through the wall of a doctor's office when you're there, so it's good to learn Torah. But mitzvahs, the Gemara says, are not like that. The Gemara says mitzvahs protect a person while he's doing the mitzvah. They don't protect a person when he's not doing the mitzvah. Hear the difference? person's in the middle of the mitzvah, he's in contact with God. When you're doing a mitzvah, you're shaking hands with God. While you're shaking hands with God, you're protected. The minute you stop doing the mitzvah, you're not protected anymore. It's like playing tag. When you touch school, you can't get out. And you let go. I mean, lahavdil, I mean, you know, obviously. During a mitzvah, you're shaking hands with God. My sister-in-law's grandfather, he was a Chabatzker. He was a very chashev Chabatzker. The Babcha Chassid of the previous Rebbe, Rebbe number 6, Rebbe Yosef Yitzchak. He did a lot in Russia to keep Yiddishkeit alive. He did a lot. He put his life on the line, literally his life on the line. The communists would try to kill him so many times. They didn't manage to kill him. I mean, they ruined his health, they ruined his wife's health. He survived and he got out and came to Eretz Yisrael. When he was there, no, besides, there's a book about him. I'm saying, if you want, there's a book about him. The stories are, when I say unbelievable, I really mean them. He was on a train to get from one place to the next. You had to get on a train. If you didn't have the proper papers, you had to jump on trains. And a religious Jew usually did not have the proper papers. And there were places that they weren't supposed to be, because you can only be in places that you're authorized to be. And the religious Jews are never authorized to be anywhere in Russia. It wasn't, you know, you're not authorized to be anywhere. So they had to have their own way of getting around. He gets on a train. Didn't put on film that day. So it's not always possible to put on film when you want to, but he always put on film every single day. He's on the train, and the sun is setting. To put on film on a train in the middle of the Soviet Union, not a very good idea. It's not a very good idea for anyone to try and do that. It could be excused for reasons of pikuach nefesh, up your din, you know. But he never went a day without putting on tefillin. He wasn't going to start now. So in the middle of it, he put on tefillin. Whatever it's going to, yeah, he did. That's why he lived. He lived his whole life like that. He put on tefillin. His whole life was like that. The doctors gave him 3 weeks to live. He went to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, go to the city and start a cheder and then go from, you know. The Rebbe sent him out from here there. And he lived 450, 60 years after that. You know? He just never stopped listening. He just never stopped his shlichus. His whole life was a nice. Because he puts on the shayad. He's holding the celebration in his right hand. Put on the shayad, holding the celebration in his right hand. He's about to put it on. And in that time, it was between the world wars. There were so many different factions fighting each other. There was the Tsarists. You know, the Tsar was in power. Then you had the communists, the Red Army. And then you had the Meninists, the Mensheviks. They were the White Army. No, everyone was killing each other and blowing each other up. It was just like, it was so confusing. And one of their favorite pastimes was blowing up trains. So kids, there's somebody, and I think the Menshevist could have done this, the Red, I don't know who did it, but somebody wrecked the track in front of the train, like mangled it, and the train, you know, they're pulling around the bend, and all of a sudden the train, it couldn't stop in time, plows into it, turns over, the whole train crashes the bar to pieces. And Reb Simcha Gorodetsky is standing there. I mean, he was on a train that was traveling, was going, but when the train came by, he's standing there, erect, and standing up somewhere, somehow or another. The whole train is gone. Everyone's dead. And he's still holding his shalreish in his right hand. Hefsik. He told over the story himself. A mitzvah protects when you're in the middle of doing the mitzvah. When you're not doing the mitzvah doesn't protect. It doesn't protect at all. Why is that? Because a mitzvah is a ner, and a ner is a lantern, and a lantern is this world, and something in this world has an end to it. Sometimes it protects. Sometimes it doesn't. The protection ends. Torah is not from this world. Torah is or. Torah is light. Torah is not a lantern. Torah is light itself. Parshas Bereishis, it talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu created Or, Hashem created Chayshech. That's before the sun and the moon were up. Rashi talks about a light that Kadosh Baruch Hu hid and put away. It's called the Or HaGadol. Kadosh Baruch Hu hid it. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will take it out in the time of the tzaddikim. If there was no sun, there was no moon, where did that light come from? It didn't. It was just light. In the beginning of creation, the first day, there was just light. No sun, no moon, light. No, everyone knows that in this world, you can't have light without, it has to come from somewhere. Light has to come from a lightsaber. You have to do your name, maybe. It has to come from a lightsaber. You can't have light without a... You know, light is... It's called ethereal. It's not... It's something which is... It's not typical... Typical physical. Typically physical. But it's got to come from somewhere. A match, a lighter, something. But that's only in this world. In the Olam Avos, the Olam, it's not Olam Hazeh, the light's just there. Doesn't need a keli. Torah's light, because Torah has nothing to do with this world. It really doesn't make sense in this world. It's a nice that we're able to have Torah in this world at all. But mitzvahs? Mitzvahs are with physical things, they're dafka with physical things, things that come and go, things that come apart. And that's why the mitzvah, the schar, the mitzvah is not, it's not the same. Schar mitzvah is a hefsek. The reward of Torah is no hefsek. Okay, we'll pause over here till next week. See ya.